Hello, ladies and gents. You're listening to There There. I'm Alani, your host, creeping in onto the airwaves after some technical challenges. Thank you for your patience and your listening ears. Thank you, Tom Rowe. You broadcast here on the 4th Sunday of every month from 7 to 8 p.m. from the wilds of Ulster County here on WGXC Radio for Open Ears. We're in the midst of a storm, catching the fringes of Henri. Very fortunate here where I am in the Catskills, in this particular spot, safe and dry. Not much wind here. I was thinking about what would be some nice edifying rain and storm music. And, you know, of course, I came around to the theremin. So we're going to have a bit of a truncated survey of some theremin pioneers. Starting with the great, late, great Clara Rockmore, the first theremin master. This piece is a theremin concerto pastoral, which was released on Romeo Records in 2020.
The few bars you heard at the beginning of this program were taken from the second movement of a concerto in three movements for theremin and orchestra, especially written for me by Anise Fulehan, and which I played in its entirety as soloist with many orchestras, the first performance under Leopold Stokowski. I would like to play now the entire second movement for you. It is a pastoral.
Thank you.
You just heard the Pastoral by Anis Fulihan.
I'm Bob Sherman. Across the table from me is Clara Rockmore and Nadia Reisenberg, except I always call them aunt and mother because it's simpler that way, since they happen to be. On the other side here is Robert Moog. Dr. Moog, his name is a household word now because of the synthesizer that bears it and many other electronic devices. And another doctor, Thomas Ray, with us. And Tom has made a study of electronic music, electronic instruments, and the whole historical pageant of it. So I don't know where to begin exactly, except to say that you two have found the theremin fascinating. I've accepted it as part of the house. I've grown up with it. It's been around. It's always been there, and I understand it. What is it that fascinates you, Bob? What do you find special about the theremin?
It's very simple, technically, considering how musically rich it is. By musically rich, I don't mean you turn it on and it plays. I mean that a skilled musician can get an incredibly rich music out of it. And yet inside, it's one of the simplest devices I know. I began building theremins as an experimenter when I was a kid in high school. And I've been at it on an amateur and semi-professional basis ever since.
If it's such a simple device, how is it that every time a tube goes out, there's a major crisis here because they were all made in 1942 and they can't
locate it
anymore? I think I can answer that. That is because Professor Theremin was such a genius that he picked up whatever happened to be around. So his parts there are some of them obsolete or some of them could be handled to a frying pan for all I care, but he made it work. But it's very difficult to substitute.
Clara, when did you first meet Theremin? Under what circumstances?
Well, I met Professor Theremin when he came to America to demonstrate the instrument. At that time, I was a very busy violinist, a pupil of Professor Leopold Auer, and I was fascinated by the aesthetic part of the instrument, the visual, the beauty, and the idea of playing completely without touching anything. That part was very fascinating to me. I also loved the sound of it. And apparently I showed some kind of immediate, from point of view of Professor Theremin, an immediate ability to manipulate it perhaps better than the usual person. Maybe my absolute pitch helped. But at that time I was too busy playing the violin, so I completely forgot it except to be admired for several years. And only later I began to work on it, and then he changed the first model of the instrument to a much more exacting one because I needed it for musical reasons, with a faster left hand, which permits staccato, which with a longer range, 5 octaves instead of 3, which makes playing much more difficult and controlling it more difficult, but more is possible.
Wait, you're skipping a little bit ahead. From this initial stage of just being curious about it to actually starting to work on it, to having him build you an instrument that is a little different for the specification. How did you actually begin to play it?
No, I began to play it on the regular RCA model, which was then sold at Shermer's or wherever, and it had a very beautiful tone. I was not happy with it because the left hand, I call it molasses, you know. You couldn't shake the note. You always had glissando, everything was connected. And also the range was not satisfactory to me. I wanted bass notes as well as high notes. It was all get high. And Professor Theremin became a great friend and admirer and was willing to do anything. In fact, we really worked on this particular instrument together. I making my musical demands, or not demands, probably the wrong word, wishes known to him, and he, being the genius that he was, was able to invent this one.
Yeah. Bob Moog, how about the recording of the theremin? Is that going to pose special problems, do you think, in terms of the sound quality being electronically generated in the first place?
No, in fact, an electronic sound is generally easier to record than an acoustic sound because we have more control over it. And since it's already in electrical form, it was generated in the first place by electricity, it obviously can exist once again in electrical form in the tape recorder. An instrument like the piano is much more difficult to record accurately.
That's very interesting.
Yes.
I'm like, calm down, get back into my body now. Usually when I play out, the first thing that happens is people scream out, what's she doing? You know, I'll play at these rock shows, you know, be on stage, standing completely still, you know, just, and they're like, what's she doing? What's she doing? You know, and then I'll just kind of be like, woo! You know, and then they're like, whoa! And I'm sure if you're trying to figure out, how does this thing work? What I'm doing is controlling the pitch with my left hand. So the closer I get to this antenna, the higher the note gets. Do you mean really low? And with this hand, I'm controlling the volume. So the further away my right hand gets, the louder it gets. So basically with both of your hands, you're controlling pitch and volume, and kind of trying to create the illusion that you're doing separate notes when really it's continuously going. But sometimes I startle myself, I'll forget that I have it on, and I'll lean over to pick up something, and then it's like, oh, you know, and it's like a funny sound effect that follows you around if you don't turn the thing off. maybe we'll go into the next tune, because I've totally lost words at this moment. We're going to do a song by David Mash called Listen, the Words Are Gone, and maybe I'll have words come back into me afterwards so I can...
Thank you.
think of some of the questions that are commonly asked. There are so many, and well, I guess I could tell you a little of the history of the theremin. It was invented in around the 1920s, and the inventor, Leon Theremin, he also was a musician besides an inventor. He kind of came up with the idea for making the theremin, I think, when he was working on some shortwave radios, and there'd be that sound in the signal. It's like, and he thought, oh, what if I could control that sound and turn it into an instrument, because there are pitches in it. And so somehow, through developing that, he eventually came to make the theremin the way it is now. Mm. And a lot of times, even kids nowadays, they'll make reference to a theremin by going, because in the 50s, it was used in the sci-fi horror movies, that sound that's like, it's kind of a fun, goofy sound to do. And you know, sometimes if I have too much coffee, my vibrato gets out of hand. You're really sensitive to your body and its functions when you're behind the scene. You have to stay so still if you want to have the most control. It reminds me of the balancing act earlier on, what Michael was doing, it because you're fighting so hard to keep the balance with what you're playing with and stay in tune. And at the same time, you don't want to focus so much on, oh, being in tune all the time. You want to be feeling the music. But and then also you're trying to stay very, very, very still, because little movements with other parts of your body will affect the pitch, or sometimes if you're holding a low note, and breathing, you know, will make it. So if I pass out on the next song. But it's definitely I think of it almost like it's kind of like a yoga instrument, because it makes you so aware of every little crazy thing your body is doing, or just aware of what you don't want it to be doing while you're playing. You don't want to have any sudden movements. And, you know, if I go to a club and play a gig, people are like, here, have some drinks on us. And it's like, well, I'm about to go on soon. I don't want to be like, and, you know, it really does reflect the mood that you're in also. It's similar to being a vocalist, except instead of it coming out of your throat, you're controlling it just in the air, and you don't really have a point of reference. You're always relying on your ears and adjusting constantly. You just have to always adjust to what's happening and realize you'll have bummer notes come here and there, and to listen to it, adjust, and then just move on, or else you'll get too tied up and go crazy. But like me.
That was an excerpt from a TED Talk by Pamela Stickney, a modern-day theremin master, who currently lives in Vienna. That was from 2002. Before that, we heard part of Bacaneas Brasileiros number 5, aria for theremin and cello ensemble, from Clara Rockmore's Lost Theremin album, which came out in 2017 on Bridge Records, and an excerpt from an interview with Robert Moog and Clara Rockmore, which was back released. Clara Rockmore, World's Greatest Theremin Virtuosa, which is a sort of almost hour-long documentary piece, video piece document of a conversation they had, and that was released in 1998. So coming up next, a little bit more from Pamela. This is an improvisation at the Carnegie Library in Pittsburgh in 2017.
Thank you.
That was Pamelia Stickney. You're listening to There, There on WGXC Radio for Open Ears, creative community radio serving the Upper Hudson Valley on the FM dial 90.7 and spreading good vibes and beeps and boops all around the world online at WGXC.org. I'm Alana, your host this evening. My show's called There, There. I do it once a month from 7 to 8 p.m. from a secret location in Ulster County, in the woods, in the foothills of the Catskills, the base of the Catskills, something like that. Still raining. We've got Henri wreaking havoc. Fortunately, not so much here. We're lucky right here. Grateful to be warm and dry. Hoping that you and your loved ones are also warm and dry. Coming up next in our celebration of the theremin, music for rainstorms, some haunted theremin of Carolina Eck. Carolina Eck.
Thank you.
Beautiful. The rain, too. That, what you just heard was Hebrew melody played by Clara Rockmore on theremin. Also from the recording of from the documentary piece, Clara Rockmore, World's Greatest Theremin Virtuoso. And before that, Nocturne in C-sharp minor, theremin and piano, including Nadia Reisenberg on piano. Also from the Clara Rockmore's Lost Theremin album, released in 2017 on Bridge Records. The rain continues. All right, I think for the last phase of our adventure tonight, we're going to shift gears a little bit and listen to some newer music by Pamelia Kirsten, or now Stickney, formerly Kirsten. She released an album on Bandcamp this year Jakarta's suite. Pamela Stickney and Odes and Fragments, with Danny Tunick on marimba and alto, Chris Meningen on alto sax. I'm Alana, your host. Thanks so much for listening, for opening your ears out there across the land. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Keep well.
Mm-hmm.